FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Anybody would have written this script with the exception of FC Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. Late in the show, we'll be hearing how the women's team got on in their pre-season match on Sunday against Leek Town, and we'll be hearing how the men's team fared in their pre-season game down at Banbury United from Saturday. But before that, it's to Tuesday night to the Moss Rose ground.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Moss Rose on a Tuesday night. This is FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. And you join us here for an early 90s rave in Cheshire. It's a pre-season friendly as FC United are taking on Macclesfield. There we go. And joining me here with his glow sticks is Stato Paul.
Good evening, everyone.
How are you?
Fine.
Where's your whistle?
Well, we're not going to strut our stuff tonight to this,
no,
are we?
No. It's the first time we've been back here since, I think, the FAU Cup many moons ago.
Yeah, was that 2015 or something like that?
Something like that, wasn't it? So, it's a pre-season friendly, though. It's Macclesfield's last one, is it, before the North West Counties kicks off for them?
Yeah, they've been drafted into North West Counties Premier level, I think, and they've got one or two interesting personalities around the club, you could say.
Yeah, obviously Robbie Savage. There we go. But what do you make of the Macclesfield team? Because there's a few trialists in there, Paul, and I get the feeling this. Before this game, I was thinking it was going to be like Bury, where they're obviously North West Counties, but let's be honest, the squad's going to be aiming a bit higher than that. What do you reckon, that's the same tonight, or is it a bit more loose?
Well, it sounds like they've been playing a fair number of friendlies in the last 7 days, and what they've done is they've decided to treat this game as more of a run out for other players. So we're not getting anything like a strong Macclesfield lineup tonight with all the trialists in it, but. On the other hand, FC are taking this very seriously and they've put a very strong lineup out.
A very strong lineup. For those people going, where's Ali Wadika? Well, he's back tonight and he's wearing number 9. But I'd suggest he's probably going on the right pole like he's done for most of the pre-season. Centre back pairing, Drew Baker and Curtis Jones. Happy birthday to Curtis Jones. Aaron Morris and Adam Dodd. Dan Lavercombe in goal. Midfield of Jordan Simpson. Michael Potts is the captain. And Charlie Ennis. And then on the wings, Trey Pemberton, Ali Wadika. And up front, Cedric Main. And the teams are now out on the pitch. So without further ado, this is FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com. And you lovely people, the Armchair Army. It's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team of Stato Paul. But first. It's James Quinn, everyone.
Now Ennis has it, dummies it, but well read there by a trialist A, who's having a fine game there on the right flank of the Macclesfield defence. But FC win it, Baker does well, chip forward out. Got Pemberton collects from Pemberton with a real chance. Good save. Well, Hodgson showing why he's a goalkeeping coach with that save, putting his money where his mouth is, and fine save, good ball through. To Pemberton, and he hit it well, but fine save. Closest that anyone's come to scoring. Now it's Main back to goal, edge of the box. Tries to, and now Ennis through, Ennis surely, and again Hodgson gets on the end of it. Great save. He'll be getting picked for the first game of the season, Hodgson.
Do as I do.
And Elliot Johnson, in fact, is the man who's going to take this. And with Pemberton and Ennis off the field. Oh, hang on a minute. There's going to be... Mulvey came forward, but I think that was a dummy. And Johnson now with this corner floats it in, a nice looking ball, and the header missed, but it scrambled, it scores, and it's Wanaka. Well, what about that? The first corner that played into the box, and FC take the lead.
Well, it's we could argue all the way through half time we were discussing short corners. The first time tonight we've not played a short corner, we score.
Jones plays it forward, Main on the turn, and Main does well, slips his man. Main, can he get the ball out to the right hand side to Morris? Yes, he can. Morris first, straight back in, falls to Main. Main with a shot. Oh, it's the inside of the upright. Wanaka now being forced backwards, plays it out left hand side. Reigns back to Wanaka. Wanaka chips forward as Mulvey. The ball bounces though. Now it's Wanaka into the box. Shot, right footed shot, hits a Macclesfield defender. Morris will pursue. And that'll do, says the referee. So Macclesfield FC 0, FC United and Manchester 1. And the difference between the two sides came right at the beginning of the second half with that goal by Wanaka after a corner was finally taken in the conventional manner. And that gave, and they held on, but FC dominated the game. So many shots. There's about 25 in the
27.
End. 27 shots. 9 on target.
Is yeah. It?
So.
Yeah, I think that the manager will be pleased with some of the passing tonight. Possibly a little bit disappointed with some of the finishing, but pre-season is about getting minutes into legs, and I think FC have had a good exercise tonight.
Yes. The suspicion perhaps when seen that Macclesfield weren't exactly putting a full side out, a first choice side out, that FC might have an easy evening, but absolutely not.
Well, Neil, what did you make of that game?
First 20 minutes we were bang average. I thought then when we got a little key message onto the pitch, the last 25 minutes of the first half we were good. I thought second half we were exceptional. Pay particular mention to Keita Mulvey, Matty Raines trialist, and Elliot, come on. I thought they were outstanding. I just thought they set the tempo of how we played. They've only trained with us a couple of times, but to pick up, you know, the movement was great, but you know, by far and away the best player on the pitch was Aaron Morris tonight. That was delighted for him. The amount of times that we got down the right hand side, we delivered balls into the box. It was a joy to watch, really. And they're a good side. You know, I hope they do get through the leagues, because with a setup like this, they deserve it. But take nothing away from my side. Another clean sheet, another win, and I think we're getting better. I think we're getting better. Relationships are getting better as well.
You did try a couple of things tonight, I noticed, without giving too much away. Drew Baker was basically playing as an unofficial left-back most of the time.
Yeah.
Is that something that you've been working on?
Yeah, it is, yeah. So, stepping out of play, getting a left-back higher, centre-half becoming a left-back, or kind of like where Doddy plays, similar on Curtis's side. You know, he's just picked certain things up when you watch the Euros, or, you know, you watch, you know, Premier League and things, and just trying to replicate little things that I've learned while we haven't been in, and it seems to come to fruition. I think we're defending a lot higher. I think we're stepping into play a lot better, which means that we're getting Potsy and Simpson higher, and you've seen with Simpson tonight, he's breaking the box. He's, you know, that's what he's got to bring to his game. I said goals, and, you know, you're great on the ball, but can you do stuff off the ball? And I was delighted with him tonight, you know, really was.
Wanaka was obviously missing on Saturday, but scored last Tuesday, scored tonight as well. It's not going to do him any harm, is it?
No, he's getting better. You know, 15 months out of the game with a hernia, and then obviously 7 months not kicking the ball in anger. And everyone knows, well, I know what Ali Wanaka's about, and he'll score goals. Tried him in a 4-4-2 to start with. It's not my preferred formation, so, you know, kind of dropped him in, come off the right, come off the left, and, you know, got a great goal. And we've just got to nurture him, you know, bring him back in. He's, you know, he's not getting any younger, neither is anybody. You know, we've just got to get and we'll get the best out of him, but he's certainly fit into how we're trying to play and our style of play. So, but no, I'm delighted with everybody. You know, I'm even delighted that Dan Lavercombe didn't really get a touch in the second half tonight, but he was aware at all times, his positioning was good. So, you know, I'm a happy manager tonight.
Banbury then on Saturday, our first proper away for Yonks. Probably South Shields was our last proper away, wasn't it? So, what are you hoping?
I'm hoping that we can have a bonding session, you know, on the coach. It would be great for the lads to kind of get round each other. It'd be nice to travel down 3 or 4 hours and then, you know, have a good game of football and then come back. And, you know, if the lads do well, have a drink on the way back, you know, get a togetherness, get a bond going. I've given them Thursday night off training. You know, we came in 3 weeks early and I said to the lads at half-time, we're looking a bit fatigued, but I want you to save yourselves now because it's a long, cold journey and, you know, deserved it. They've never pulled the face once, whether it's been in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and we came in 3 weeks early than everybody else. So they're going to get a well-deserved rest Thursday and then we're going to board the coach at half-nine from Borders Park on Saturday. But they're hoping for a great game, another win. You know, we want to take that into Forward Amateurs and then take it into Clacton and then obviously into the first game of the season at Warrington. So, you know, thank you to everyone who came tonight. I thought the support was exceptional. You know, sing song in the second half and a little bit of a banter at the end, but, you know, they're great coming in the numbers and that support's invaluable to the lads. So, thanks to everyone.
So, FC Live there from Tuesday evening, a pretty comfortable night against Macclesfield, a 1-0 victory there. That takes us then to Saturday's game against Banbury United. And for more on this now, down the other end of the line, we should be joined by the wonderful, it's Woodsoe, everyone. Hello, Woodsoe. Welcome to the
Hello.
Show. How are
Hello.
You?
Oh, not bad, not bad at all.
Now, we should say we're recording this bit of the show on Sunday, but we're going to do a bit of magic of radio and not give the result away just yet about what happened on Saturday. But a good night's work on Tuesday night. What was your thoughts on the Macclesfield game?
Oh, what a pie.
It was a good
what
pie.
A pie.
It was a good
what
pie.
A pie.
Yes.
It might be a culture shock to a certain fans in the counties who are paying £4, but they're getting their money's worth. But anyway, I thought Tuesday was good. I thought we played some good stuff, especially in the first half. We dominated the game. I don't think we were, like you said, we're recording on a Sunday, so it's been a few sleeps since then. But I don't think we were under masses of pressure.
I don't think Dan Lavigan had a save to make, did he?
I don't think he did, so. Did he? No, I'm just trying to think. I can't think of anything of any great notes. Yeah, 1-0 is 1-0. But we probably could and should have had. I mean, we Cedric hit the post. I think Mulvey had a good chance. We showed in the second half as well a couple of good performances from a couple of new trialists that we were having a look at. And, you know, it was all positive, I think, to be honest with you.
Yes. Speaking of trialists, that then takes us to Saturday's game against Banbury United. A long trip down to Oxfordshire for this one. There were a few noticeable absentees from the team sheet.
Absentees.
So it wasn't our full-strength team, this, at all. It was
not by any stretch, yes. No. I mean, was it Potts, Donoghue, Wadika, Morris, Sinclair Smith, all not involved? And we started with one of the new trialists. He was playing left back. He started left back, and our regular left back was playing right back. And we're going to come to the game, but I think as a right back, he makes a very. You can see why he's the best left back in the league. To be fair,
and to be fair, Adam Dodd, if you are listening, you are the best left back in the league.
Oh, absolutely, so, absolutely. Yeah, I like to think he would be honest enough to put it on and say, yeah. He's not a right back, but obviously needs must. You know, yesterday. So,
well, let's cut to the chase then, and let's find out how FC United got on. This is Puritans Radio featuring the one and only Keg commentating on Saturday afternoon's game between Banbury United and FC United.
Quite a heavy rainstorm before the game, and it's starting to come down again, just slicking the pitch up a little bit.
May affect the play.
Jordan Simpson. Little ball into midfield, gets it back again and then looks to hit the trialist on the far side who's hugging the left touchline, cutting in on his right foot, overhits the cross and Akwai clears it away, but FC United have it again and Main on the edge of the area, works it back and the shot comes in and it's Paul Ennis with a fine finish. We were just mentioning the pitch might have slickened up a bit, hit it low and hard, Keith, and it went in from about 25 yards, 1-0 FC United.
Shot from distance, as I said, that's what he does. And it's, as you say, it was low and into the bottom left-hand corner as we look at the goal. And well, that's exactly what I expect from Charlie Ennis, to be honest.
And here come Banbury going forward. Landers into the box, gets it across. Ray has equalised! It's raining goals in North Oxfordshire. And Christopher Ray scores from 6 yards out. But it was all about Landers. Down the right-hand side, got the cross in, and it was into a dangerous area, Tony, and Ray did the rest.
Oh, yes, and that was a very good work down the wing and across, which gave the Banbury player a chance to snaffle it.
What was your thoughts on that, Keith?
Well, I think FC United caught napping at the back. We play a high line. you pay the price when you play a high line. It was four red shirts against three blue shirts in the end, and that's the price you pay.
Well dealt with by Dodd. He did well there, Keith, to bring that ball down, because Ray was in behind him.
He was. One slip and he'd have been through.
He's a good footballer, as I say. He's got a good touch and he can hold the ball well.
And Morbert, talking of good touches, it wasn't there for Dan Lavercombe. Took a fly kick and left the ball for Morgan Roberts, and Roberts puts it into the back of the net. It'll be the easiest goal he'll probably score all season. FC United looking to come forward, but Rizulu has broken things up on the halfway, and he's got Ray ahead of him to his right. Ray in on goal. Good finish. Kept it low. That was key. He kept it low. I think Lavercombe might have got a hand on it, but again, it was furthest point. Get down low. Harder to get to. And Ray has scored his second goal of the game and put Banbury 3-1 up in the 54th minute. Rizulu doing well, though. Here comes the number two trialist for FC United. Gets the ball out to the trialist. The shot comes in. It's back to Ennis. Ennis's shot is parried by Harding. And then the 16 goes to ground. And the referee has given a penalty. We said there'd be more goals in it, or more to the point you did, Keith. And I think it's proving the point. It's going to be Ennis from 12 yards. He's already rattled one in from 25 yards. Up against Jack Harding. He's a bit of a penalty stopper specialist. What can Ennis do against him? Ennis steps up, hits it straight down the middle. It's 3-2.
Yeah, it's usually Ennis with the dead balls, the free kicks, the penalties.
No doubt about it. Just put the laces through it, set it straight down the middle. Harding went to his left. It's 3-2 Banbury United. FC United back in it.
You mentioned at the beginning of the game about two teams that want to keep it on the ground and pass it forward rather than play long ball. And I think that's proven to be the case. And the teams that are the team that's dominated and scoring throughout the game has been the team that's controlled the midfield.
Yeah.
That's been
the key area, as it often so is. And here's Akwai as FC United give the ball away again. Akwai finishes it. 4-2. A mistake from FC United, and they're punished by Ben Akwai. 70 minutes, and Banbury restore their two-goal advantage. Ben Akwai with a quite composed finish off his left foot. Ethan Johnson bursting forward, lays it into Ray, gets it back. Johnson a little bit wide, but gets the ball across. Ray's got his hat-trick. Well, he's got his hat-trick after a sort. If you want to be pedantic, you could probably say it's an own goal.
Well, I think you've got to say that. But
Ray got the last touch from a Banbury player, and it's gone into the back of the net, and it's 5-2. And the referee has blown his final whistle, and it's finished. Banbury United 5, FC United of Manchester 2. And lads, I think we probably couldn't have predicted this score, but we've been regally entertained. I think we expected both teams to play the way they did, get the ball down, and it's been a real entertaining afternoon of football.
I'm sure I saw a 5-5 draw. I'm blanking some of those individual mistakes out, Dave.
Well, that would have made it a 2-2 draw.
Well, I would have. I could live with that. Yeah. Credit to Banbury for adapting to the game, adapting to the conditions. Certainly better than FC United. I'm not going to hide by on the fact that we were missing some players for whatever reason. And to be honest, from an FC United point of view, I'm quite surprised, unless players just weren't available due to COVID or isolating or finally be able to get away on holiday, for instance. You don't know these days, do you? That we've played such an, shall we call it, interesting bench.
Because, you know, you look at the first 15, 20 minutes, they had control of the game, Manchester. But gradually, Banbury then took control by the end of the first half and then continued to control. But with the change of your players in the second half, they were reverting. It's like the end of the first half, they lost what they should be doing. But when he put on the trialists, the substitutes, they seemed to have a little more idea, let's go back to what we know best. And they certainly gave them a good game in the second half.
What I'd love to say, though, is, again, one final shout-out to our supporters. If you've enjoyed the service that these guys at Banbury have given you today and the match coverage, please do put your hands in your pockets and donate a few quid to the Floodlight Appeal here, you couldn't meet a nicer bunch of guys than I've met down at Banbury today.
So we're now 5-2. I mean, the first half could have gone either way. FC, great first 20 minutes. Banbury came back into it. What a pace down that right-hand side that caused us trouble. No idea what that was going to happen in the second half, but obviously, you know, we're shorn of players.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not going to make that excuse because I went to go watch the academy yesterday, delighted with, you know, the progress of them, and, you know, straight away I knew that we were a few players short today, but I wasn't hesitant about bringing the four or five, and for me, you know, as a manager, I'm full of joy today. You know, to finish that game with four or five, you know, 16, 17 year olds on the pitch fills me full of happiness. And, you know, even when Nat made the mistake, you know, as soon as he come on, everyone's been 16, 17. It's going to happen at football. But, you know, I'm just happy that people see there's a progression and we're going to build on that. As for the game, like you said, first 20 minutes, I thought we were exceptional. We kind of switched off in a phase after 25 minutes, which led to their first goal. We then didn't recover, you know, at half time, and I said in 15 minutes we're going to make a raft of changes. So it wasn't about the result today, you know, and I'm certainly not going to hide behind the lads that have missed today. It's a squad game, you know. Banbury deserved to win the game. I've loved today's occasion. Two sets of, you know, fans really developing a good relationship. Two clubs developing a good relationship, and we look forward to entertaining them next summer. But, you know, as a manager, Sandia, please, it's been a good pre-season so far. Big game on Tuesday night for us away at Forward Amateurs, followed by the Clacton game, and then we get ready for Warrington.
Yeah, I mean, 2 weeks to go. I mean, I think basically get those six players back and we're in great shape, aren't we?
Of course you are. You know, everyone misses a Michael Potts, a Michael Donoghue, etc. But you're going to have that in a season. You're going to have illnesses, you're going to have injuries, you're going to have suspensions, you're going to have work commitments. You've just got to get on with it. We're not going to moan about it. Like I said, today I'm really pleased for all the lads that travelled down. Special mention to the fans, you know, I keep saying it, but wow, the noise that they made today and to come all this way to support the football club is unique and something that touches me every time I hear them sing. So big thanks to them, big thanks to everyone who's travelled, you know, and made today what it is. And like I said, all the best to Banbury this season. We're going to go and have a drink now with their management team and then kind of like just chew over the game. But like I said, there's a lot of successes to come out of today, and we've got to get ready for Forward Amateurs away now Tuesday, hopefully get some of them injured players back. But if we don't, it won't faze me about taking some academy lads as well. So, all right.
Fantastic. Brilliant. See you Tuesday.
Thanks, Tim.
So there we go, 5-2. Neil Reynolds there speaking post-match with Tim. And before that, a big thanks to Puritans Radio for that commentary. What do we take from that match there, Woodso?
The hot roast was quite nice.
And really?
I had three nice pints of decent ale. Not a great deal. I think, I mean, I watched Neil's interview with Tim on the way home from the match and the car. And I agree with him. It wasn't a better result. There's not a lot you can probably gauge from yesterday. It's another 90 minutes in the tank for players who were available.
It's the positive what Neil highlighted, the fact he's been watching the academy closely now with his new role.
Absolutely.
And he threw them in there, and he's not afraid to.
The second half was almost, you could say, almost literally men against boys. I think we finished the game with 4, 5, 6 academy trialists, you know, young trialists on the pitch. Like I say, it's a game to get at the system. Do it today, do it Tuesday, do it against Clapton next Saturday. Don't do it, you know, make sure that when Warrington comes out in 2 weeks' time, you know, that's gone, done, dusted out of the system, and we're on it. You know, let's be honest, we've seen enough pre-season to know with a full-strength squad, let's not tempt fate, but it could well be a very good season.
Well, Ennis's goal at the start was, the first goal he scored was it, that was the goal, that the type of goal we've been scoring all pre-season, down the byline,
correct,
wasn't it? And it broke to him on 20 yards out or so, and it was a great finish.
Absolutely.
But anyway, we move on to Forward Amateurs on Tuesday night, 7:30 kickoff there at Lightfoot Green. And then it's the Clapton doubleheader on Saturday, the men's team kicking off at 4 o'clock. We'll be covering the women's side of things in a second. But Woodso, closing thoughts ahead of Forward and Clapton. You expecting a stronger lineup for these games?
Well, sounding from what Neil said yesterday, I think he alluded to the fact that it may well be a similar potential lineup on Tuesday night.
Right.
That was the impression I got from what he said. I mean, hopefully one or two other players were away, you know, not necessarily injured but just unavailable. They probably come back in, and hopefully the players will come back off a poor performance with a good one. I think that's what's more important now, is these next two games, to get the good performances in as opposed to the results. You know, results don't mean anything at pre-season level. It's about minutes on the pitch, and it's about, you know, I think ideally Neil would have his probably as near to a strongest lineup out for the next two games, because, you know, you've got to build up to that Warrington game. hopefully, you know, he just could get the performance in. And, you know, some of the players who didn't have such a great game yesterday, you've got a, you know, perfect opportunity a few days later, put it behind you and put the performance in.
Yeah, it is open. Woodso, a big, big thank you for coming on the show and walking us through Saturday afternoon. I'm glad you, the K-Tune is up to standard as well. That's two in two now, isn't it, with Macclesfield as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, absolutely.
Well, so far, going really well. But thank you so much, Woodso, and enjoy the rest of your week and catch up soon.
We'll see you Tuesday.
So two matches to come this week for the men's team. On Tuesday night, it's Fulwood Amateurs away up in Preston. And then on Saturday, it's Clapton Community FC. It's a 4 o'clock kickoff for the men's team at Broadhurst Park. That's because it's all part of a doubleheader, as the women's team will be taking on Clapton at 1:30. Great form heading into this game for the women's team, as they took on Leek Town on Sunday, a 4-2 victory for Tom Fitton's side. And I'm pleased to say Tom joins us now down the other end of the phone. Well, Tom, a big thank you as always for joining us on a Monday after the Sunday game. And what a game it was, you know, going 1-0 down very early on and eventually winning 4-2. Not a bad afternoon.
Yeah, no, it was good. And I think one of the biggest things from yesterday's performance was that the girls did the sort of messier side of the game, you know, the effort, the determination, working off the ball, which is probably what we lacked or sort of struggled with fitness-wise in the last two fixtures against Burnley and Brighouse. So that was a massive positive for us. Like I say, a very slow start to the game. The first 5 minutes, we were absolutely awful. And we discussed it after. I think we're probably respecting opposition a bit too much, you know, and giving them too much time on the ball, especially in the early stages in the game. But we reacted well to going behind, and it sort of woke everyone up. So in hindsight, it was actually a good thing. But I didn't feel it 90 seconds into the game, 1-0 down.
And if you're under no illusions when you took on the job, how important Kirsty Chambers is, you probably know now, don't you, after a month or so in charge, and certainly after Sunday's game. A hat-trick from her, but taking you in 2-1 up at half-time. By the sounds of it, a brilliant performance from Kirsty Chambers.
Honestly, Ben, I can't emphasise the quality of the three goals as well. So the first one, like you say, was probably about 15 minutes in, and we'd actually got on the high press, which is one of the mindset things we've been trying to change with the team, and Holly Davenport had gone hunting the ball down, and they lost possession in the centre of the pitch, and it got zipped straight out to Kirsty, and she just absolutely skinned the right back, skinned the centre back, and then just fired it home. And you could see the belief in the team then. But I'm not lying to you, Ben. The second goal, 43rd minute, was an absolute joke. Holly Davenport, who was out on the right wing, smashed it cross field. It was a blend of a cross and a switch of play to Kirsty, who was in the wide far corner of the box, and she's just volleyed a 40-yard crossfield diagonal into the far top corner. Like, the opposition was still pressing Holly Davenport. It happened that quick. It was absolutely sensational.
It sounds like an absolute cracker. But what do we take then over the last 2 weeks? Because obviously the interview we did last week, it was not good score lines, but generally it was all about building up to this game this weekend against Clapton. Last weekend against Leek has certainly helped that momentum, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like we said, it was all about learning and asking things of the players they've potentially not done in the past. And it's, well, I don't want to speak too soon. We'll see how it goes on Saturday. But it seems like it's coming together a lot more. We're demanding a lot more of them out of possession and off the ball than I think they've been used to in the past. The quality in possession's getting there. We're happy with how we're building up play. I think the final touches are in the final third now that we just need to focus on in this last phase of pre-season. But the team are responding really well to it. And like you say, Kirsty scored an hat-trick there, and a very good one at that. But the team performance around it as well is getting there now. They're not just relying on on-call players or senior members of the team to, you know, to be digging in and reacting to opposition. Everyone sort of stepping up and working as one, which is the biggest thing that probably come together yesterday that had been potentially missing in the last 2 weeks.
So how's the squad shaping up then? Because in these pre-season interviews, you know, there's a chance for silverware here against Clapton. I know it's technically still pre-season, but, you know, we're a couple of weeks off Newcastle. You know, this game this weekend ahead of that is important too. So are you almost there with the squad?
Yeah, 100%. It's likely there's potentially one player coming out, hopefully one coming in, and we've just got to cross the T's and dot the I's on one or two players. But no, we're in a really healthy shape. The squad's a lot more balanced than it probably was at the start of the season. We've got players competing for shirts all over the pitch now, which only really looked like in a central midfield role before, or I'd say 2 or 3 weeks ago. But no, we've got real depth in the squad now, which is what we need when obviously we alluded to them big travels up northeast, as well as the demands we're putting on them in front of the home crowd. So the squad's looking good. We'd always look to add quality and energy to it wherever we could, but we're very happy with where we're at the moment.
And let's talk finally, Tom, about this game this weekend. It's a big celebration about fan ownership with silverware in the offing. Clapton Community FC's women's team kicking the afternoon off at 1:30 at Broadhurst Park. How excited is everyone about this big game this weekend?
There's such an energy in the dressing room for it, Ben. Honestly, like, they've been speaking about this more than the Newcastle game, so we need to make sure that energy comes onto the pitch. But the focus has genuinely been about this game on Saturday. We want to showcase to all the FC fans, and obviously the opportunity of potentially showcasing what we can do to the men's fans that haven't been to a women's fixture before. It's a big moment for the team, and like you say, if we can walk into Newcastle with a title under our belt already from pre-season, there's not a better way to start the campaign, is there really?
Tom Fitton there, women's team manager, speaking to me on Monday. So that's it for this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. And just a reminder, Clapton Community FC, a doubleheader this weekend on Saturday afternoon at Broadhurst Park. The game for the women's team kicking off at 1:30. Following that at 4 o'clock, it's the men's team. Both matches will be live in person at Broadhurst Park, but you can also listen to both games as well live here on FC Radio. But that's it for this week's edition of This Club Is My Club. A big thank you to everyone this week for joining me. Special thanks as well to Puritans Radio earlier for that Banbury coverage. And remember, for all the latest goings on from the world of FC United, you can visit the website fc-utd.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you all make sure that you all have a lovely and safe week. Bye bye.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.